Prep Sports Now. We are back. I'm Case Kiefer, joined, as always, by Ray Brewer to talk all things local high school basketball. And today it's probably just going to be a lot of me sitting back, listening to what Brewer has to say. Can't even call him out on that much because he has seen a handful of the contenders over the last 7 or 8 days. Been to a couple of the biggest games so far in the city. So we'll just jump right into it. Brewer, what did you see at Clark's loss at Bishop Gorman? And before that, I guess even Coronado's smackdown of Liberty.
Yeah, I saw basically the, you know, four best teams in town, arguably, at least three of the best teams in town, arguably, since our last show. And Monday night, Clark, Gorman with a 70-55 win, Case. And, you know, this game was pretty much decided in the first quarter. Gorman scored 26 points. Clark's Jalen Hill got into some foul trouble. And Gorman led essentially by 10 points the rest of the game. Clark got it to 8 a few times, maybe even 6 once, but Gorman would counter and stretch the lead out. Players of note, Zion Collins, the sophomore point guard for Gorman, was really, really good. That dude is like elite defender. It's been told to me by people, and I saw it with my own eyes. Really good defender. Had 18 points, made all of his foul shots, created opportunities for other players on Gorman. So on Gorman's star-studded team, he was clearly the best player. For Clark, Antoine Jackson underneath, 8 of 12 from the field, double-double points and rebounds, brutally physical, man. It was a real physical game. Cottrell fouled out for Gorman. Jalen Hill got 2 quick fouls for Clark. That probably changed the pace of the game. He only shot the ball, Case, 5 times. So Gorman with a 15-point victory. Clark's got a lot of good pieces. They just were taken out of their game early.
Yeah, I think you hit on probably what might be the biggest thing from Clark's perspective, at least looking at the box scores. Jalen Hill getting in that early foul trouble, only shooting 5 times. I just think that can't be a recipe to beating Gorman, I wouldn't think. You're gonna need your best player to get as many minutes and as many attempts as possible, I would think.
Yeah, you get into foul trouble like that, and you got to sit out the whole first half. That's tough. That's tough for a team, for their guy, you know, to not have their guy in a marquee game like that. And it is what it is. It was a really physical game, too. A lot of banging on the inside.
Of course, they will get another shot, probably 2 more shots at Bishop Gorman. But definitely Gorman wins easily in round one. And I also think Zion Collins deserves just a little more talk. I mean, this is a kid that he came in. He was such a highly touted freshman, a lot of talk. And then I feel like he's kind of been overshadowed a little bit by Cottrell and Tates. You feel like those are the guys you hear most about at Gorman. But then after this game, I mean, getting on Twitter and stuff, you saw Zion Collins' name everywhere, and certainly seems like it was deserved. Like you said, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Kid was super efficient, really kick-started the offense. It sounds like he was the best player on the floor, and that's good to see for a guy that I think we shouldn't look past anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot of great guards who are underclassmen in town. You go to, you know, Jaden Hardy at Coronado, sophomore, who's a once-in-a-generation type of player. Collins over at Gorman. Richard Isaacs, Jr., Pop, as they call him, the Coronado freshman, who I saw earlier in the week. The guy had double-digit assists, true point guard, looks to get others involved, pushed the ball up the court, very smart, very confident. And then Clark has a point guard, Frankie Collins, who's a sophomore, who UNLV's offered, who I really, really liked. I thought he hung his own with Zion Collins, no relation. But if you look at all those guards, and I think UNLV's offered them all, the city's in good hands.
Who didn't realize, for some reason, I thought Frankie Collins was a little bit older. I thought he was a junior, so only a sophomore.
And he's good.
Yeah, and he's been outstanding. So I got a little bold on that one last week. I picked Clark in the upset and obviously went wrong there. But I will pat myself on the back for the other game I said that of all the close games we were talking about, Coronado would be the one that was the least close, that I thought they would pretty much run away from Liberty, and they did just that. You were there, 97-78. You gave us the standouts of the Gorman game. What was the standout of the Cougars kind of getting a definitive win over the Patriots?
Well, I mean, obviously, you just look at the stats. Hardy went for 41. He's as good as advertised. Has just this tremendous ability, Case, where he could pull up and hit a three, no questions asked, but he could also take the ball to the basket, draw some contact. So his ability to create his own scoring is just stands out. And, you know, you think big picture in the playoffs, Coronado's going to be a tough out, because if Hardy gets the ball, he's going to be able to score, and they've got a point guard in Isaacs who's going to get it to him. But it's just not those two guys. Fat Daddy, Terrell Hunt, scored, you know, Coronado's first 8 points. He's only a junior. He just plays so hard. I hate to borrow a word from Jeff Kaufman, but I was so impressed with the effort this guy had on both ends of the court. I mean, just like roll up your sleeves, dirty work type of guy, team first. And then they got the Felix Revis kid who was at DO last year, and his assignment was to guard Julian Strother. And Strother scored in the 20s, but he didn't go off like he did last year for 40. In fact, he was kind of a non-factor for part of the game. So Coronado's got four players with Isaacs, Fat Daddy Hunt, Felix Reeves, or whatever.
I think it's Reeves, right?
Whatever, yeah. You know Case. I'm not good with the names. Reeves. And then you mix in arguably the best player in town, if not the one of the best in the nation, in Hardy, and you're like, uh-oh, Coronado's got a chance. We got live action.
Yeah, of course, they did already lose once to Gorman, but they're another team that would like another shot. And, you know, you list down the players. That's
I just feel like in basketball, it's easier to get that upset.
Oh, for one – I mean, yeah, one game, almost anything can happen in basketball. That's why I've always said I actually prefer high school basketball, at least in this city, to high school football, because anything can happen in one game. Football, we know who's going to win.
Nothing's going to happen yet. Yeah. We've learned that 10
basketball,
times.
We have a very strong feeling who's going to win, but not necessarily. And last year, we actually had a little bit of an upset. So anything can happen, like we said. I do think we should mention Coronado came back from that win over Liberty, 97-78, to play in what looked like an even bigger game last night, and they beat Foothill 95-90. Foothill's been, I mean, for real all year, and I think even a 5-point loss to Coronado that has all that talent, that doesn't take anything away from them either. That was another big win from Coronado.
How many did Rockmore go for?
Rockmore had 12, but our guy Dylan Hushaw had 33.
Yeah, he's been really good.
Yeah, so it was tied going into the fourth quarter, it looks like. Coronado pulled away, got it done in the end.
Wow.
So I would watch out for Foothill.
You know what? DeSantis is... doesn't lack confidence, and that confidence carries over to his players. It's so vitally important when, listen, you see 1-5 and 1-5, and on paper, you're right, Coronado has a distinct advantage. But you talk to DeSantis, and he doesn't believe that. And that's refreshing, because we've sat here for 10 years, and we've, you know, for the most part, our picks mirror each other, right? And we see what's on paper, and usually what's on paper comes to fruition. You know, and you still think, though, over the years, there's games that I wish we could have seen, right? The year Canyon, the year Boz's junior year when somehow Minogue beat Gorman at the Orleans. Remember that Roy Williams game?
Yeah, this is the one to always talk about still. 9 years, 8 years later,
yeah,
or whatever.
But I would have loved to have seen that senior heavy Mikey Thompson Canyon team against Gorman. Right? Gorman would have been a favorite, but I would have loved to have seen the game, right? Mm-hmm. And then the same thing is true with a game we never got to see because of injuries. But Vegas had, think about it, Ray Smith, who was on his way to becoming a McDonald's All-American, torn ACL, right? Tyler Bay, who is one of the Pac-12's best players at Colorado, right? Pat Savoy Jr., who almost helped Florida State make the Final Four last year, and Florida State's a top 10 team. And then Devin Cooley, who was not only a great high school point guard, very smart, had a great JC run, and now he's playing at Tampa College and doing well, but knows the game like the back of his hand. I would have loved to have seen that Vegas team against Gorman, but we never got to see
it. What happened that year? I forgot they had all those guys at one time. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, so Bay ended up going to a prep school.
Okay.
Smith tore out his leg, right. And it was Bay and Savoy, and I think they lost to Canyon.
Makes sense. I don't know how we got off on all that. I agree, though, all true. I will say it started with Coronado Foothill, and 95-90 loss is nothing for – I'm sure Foothill's feeling down today, feeling like they could have done something to win that game, but that's a pretty good effort at Coronado, and they get to host them at home on Thursday the 31st. That's a game to look for that could, I mean, ultimately decide the division.
Yeah, you win the second game, I think you get the – there's some tiebreaker, but I think if you win the second game, you win the series.
Yeah, and Liberty will obviously have a say, but that does loom large as a big rematch. But there's a lot of large – there's a lot of things looming large this week. It's one of our favorite weeks every year in high school basketball. We've got two huge kind of showcases for a bunch of local teams over the next week. On Saturday is the Big City Showdown at South Point, and then we will follow that on Monday at Coronado. There is the West Coast Elite MLK Classic. A lot of local teams taking part of both of these two events. We'll just start chronologically on Saturday, the Big City Showdown. It gets underway at 9:30. It runs all the way till about 5 o'clock. The rundown of games, it's always great to see the girls intermingle with the boys. So the first game is a girls' game, Liberty and Desert Oasis. Then you've got Democracy Prep taking on Desert Oasis. Coronado versus Clark, a really big one. I think I might even be looking more forward to that than Gorman Finley, which is the de facto headliner. And then you've got Liberty versus Durango. Should be a good day out at the South Point, Ray.
Yeah. First of all, shout out to Steve Stallworth and his guys at South Point Arena, because the game outgrew Cox Pavilion, right? Remember the one year where Gorman had Boz and Finley had Anthony Bennett, and they were selling tickets on StubHub for like $200, and it was standing room only, and it came off the hills of a game that went into double overtime where Noah Robotham as a freshman hit a shot in the corner. And South Point, by giving them that space over there, is just added to it, because now you're going from a 2,000-seat arena to a 6,500-seat arena, and they're filling that thing up. And it's just everybody in the basketball community, it's not only a day of great games, but it's like celebrating all the kids. And the fact that they've taken Gorman Finley, a game which is arguably the most anticipated of the year, and they've brought in all these other teams and girls basketball as well, that's just cool, man. Back to back to back. It's a great opportunity to see a lot of good players. Finley Gorman, I think that matchup has kind of lost its luster a little bit because, A, Gorman's beat them the last few years, and, B, Finley's just not as dominant as they used to be.
Yeah, it makes sense. Gorman's certainly on a run in the series, but I think we shouldn't minimize how impressive that is. I mean, there was a stretch, I feel like, where we wondered if Gorman was ever going to be able to beat Finley, or maybe they beat him once, and it seemed like Finley was always going to have the upper hand in the series, and Gorman's totally flipped that, so I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Finley right now is 14-4 overall, which for them, I mean, when the Mike Peck, Todd Simon, Andy Johnson years, they would go 3 years without losing a game or whatever.
Yeah, so everyone's going to know the Finley guys. Zion Collins, Isaiah Cottrell, Noah Tates, Jaden Hardy, even Fat Daddy, Julian Strother, who's going to be in the late game against Durango. But can I give you one other name that you need to watch in the Big City Showdown? I feel like we have not given this team, I don't think, any love on the podcast. We probably should. How about Democracy Prep's Najib Muhammad, who we heard was going to have a big year? He was good in our All-Star game that we coached. But he's averaging 19 points per game, and Democracy Prep is on top of the standings in the 3A. We haven't talked much about them. I think he might be like kind of the first headliner of the day.
Yeah, I'd say Democracy Prep, they won the 2A title this year, up to the 3A, different type of competition, but Coach Trevor Diggs, the UNLV great, does a great job over there. And for all intents and purposes, they are the leaders in the clubhouse in the state tournament, although I think Boulder City is going to give them a great game. And you're absolutely right. They got some guys that could get after it there, and I'm very happy that they're going to get to showcase themselves up to South Point. And speaking of guys who are going to be good is Tone Hunter over at Durango. A kid who's got a lot of offers, and he's going to have a chance to close out the day. There'll still be a lot of people lingering around because that's after Gorman Finley.
Right, makes a lot of sense. So Muhammad and Hunter, two other guys to look for that aren't necessarily in the two huge games, but that can certainly light it up at South Point in Democracy Prep versus Desert Oasis to start the boys' schedule at 11 o'clock. And then at 3:30 to end the day is Liberty and Durango. But before we move on from the Big City Showdown, I do think we deserve to give a little bit extra love to the 12:30 game, Coronado versus Clark, which I already said I think is even more interesting to me than Gorman versus Finley. If you're doing a top 10 in the city after this game, I think we're going to know who number two is. It's got to be whoever wins this game, right?
Absolutely. And when you talk about, you know, the postseason, even though with the new regions and more teams making the state, there's a possibility where Coronado, Clark, and Gorman will all come from whatever region they're in over here now. But you're right. In terms of pecking order, this is a gigantic spot. Clark, and it's great point guard Collins. It's four-star Kid Hill. It's D1 guy in the middle against Jaden Hardy and friends. Backcourt first inside. Could Fat Daddy slow down Antoine Jackson and Jalen Hill?
Yeah, a lot of questions to be answered. Who's the favorite in this game?
I did you see my pick? Yeah, of course.
I did, but I was I'm just curious because I actually have a strong opinion.
I would say that on paper, which is kind of what we're going off of, Coronado has to be a small favorite. I mean, obviously, you know, Clark showed some weakness in the loss to Gorman, but that's nothing to shake your head at. I mean, they got hurt by some foul trouble. The Gorman gym was packed. It was a great environment. You know, Clark was clearly the underdog, and they kept it close until the end when they just ran out of bullets. But I would say on paper, best player on the floor, Coronado's a small favorite.
I really I wasn't setting you up there. I didn't know what you were going to say. I really didn't know who the favorite was. I think this is around a pick 'em to me. Both lost about the same point total to Gorman. Coronado lost by 13. Of course, it was 2 months ago now. It was a while ago. Clark lost by 15. Clark, I know Coronado maybe he's played a little bit tougher schedule, but Clark's 15-1 really stands out to me. I didn't know what way you were going. I don't know who should be favored in this game. I think Clark might have a little more of a track record, but like you said, Coronado, I would have to agree with you, probably has the guy that you would expect to score the most on the floor. I think there's a really strong case to be made for both sides. Yeah, that's what's going to make it a great game.
I think this is one of those games, one of these matchups where if it was a multi-game series, it would come down to the end.
Oh, yeah. No one's sweeping, for sure. Yeah. So we'll have to see who rises to the occasion Saturday at the South Point. And then before we get on to running through our picks, both those teams will have to recover pretty quickly because Monday, the MLK Classic at Coronado, an even bigger day of hoops in terms of number of games. There are, 10 games back-to-back-to-back at Coronado. Some girls' teams getting involved. Again, the Coronado girls, looks like they have two games, the doubleheader, playing Vegas and Arborview, but around that, a bunch of the best boys' teams in town playing, some out-of-state opponents coming. It all kicks off with Rancho Solano taking on Desert Oasis. So Desert Oasis is in both games, too. Vegas Spring Valley, Clark taking on an out-of-state opponent in Wasatch. Faith Lutheran then playing Rancho Solano, I guess, in a doubleheader for the Rams, it looks like they might be. Sheldon taking on Centennial, who we've been impressed with this year. Coronado, Durango, Bishop Gorman Arborview, and all capped off by Finley and Veritas. Pretty cool. going on at Coronado. Pretty cool event going on Monday.
Yeah, and I hear there's many college coaches that have RSVP'd to attend. So there's going to be an opportunity for some kids to make a name for themselves. But I just love when these local teams take a step out of league to play in, you know, these showcase events. Anytime you get a chance to face a different type of club, it's going to make you better when you get back into league. So kudos for Coronado for helping to organize that. And for teams like Clark and Gorman and Arborview for getting involved. You know, for Arborview, a team that has got great guard play, they won that game. I had them winning last week, baby.
We split, though, just like I said we would, because okay. Centennial won the other game.
Yeah, but I think for Arbor, this is a good test for them, right?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly think they got to be appreciative of this chance. They get a shot at Gorman. And, I mean, I'll say this, Gorman shouldn't be overlooking this game. I know it's not necessarily one that you looked at on the schedule and say, like, oh, this is one of Gorman's can't-miss games. But Arborview is a lot better, at least, than we expected. And they could catch Gorman off guard if they're not ready to play.
Yeah, it's not only Donovan Joyner. They got a list of, you know, they're good in the backcourt as well. You know, this Arborview team is a team that could make the state tournament. You know, with the new format, there's going to be some teams in that tournament that we're not accustomed to. I don't know who it's going to be, but the playoffs on that other side of town, CK, the Mountain Region, are going to be off the hook because DP looks like it's going to win the league. You always know Canyon's going to be there, right? Mm-hmm. Arbor, Faith, Centennial, they're in the mix. Palo, arguably. Coach Condren's crew at Palo doing a good job. It's going to be a fun little regional tournament, that's for sure.
Makes sense. So before we move on to the picks, looking over this whole field of the MLK Classic, is it Arborview Gorman or is it another game? What's kind of the can't-miss matchup here in your eyes?
I don't know, CK. That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. Is that Gorman Centennial girl? Is that girls or is that men?
Centennial, I have playing Sheldon.
What about it? Am I looking at it wrong right here? Is that Gorman regular Centennial and then Gorman Arbor?
I might have an old flyer. Our flyers are definitely different.
Uh-oh.
So Gorman, according to your flyer, plays at 1:30 and 6 against Arborview and Centennial. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Centennial first. Maybe there was a swap at some point.
Yeah, we got two different printouts, but nonetheless.
Yeah, Sheldon, or maybe Sheldon pulled out because I have Sheldon playing Centennial, but Sheldon's not on this one.
So Gorman took the game. If this was
maybe.
If this was girls, I'd be interested in it. Gorman Centennial.
I think I would say girls if it was girls.
I know it would, yeah.
Okay, so, but if, is that your top? Gorman Centennial? Boys?
No, boys? I mean, Gorman's basically going to make a statement to the Northwest in that. So this Vegas Spring Valley game is going to be pretty good. Two equally matched teams. Obviously, 10:30 in the morning, not a sexy matchup. But I love Jason Wilson and what he's doing over there. The Blair kid from Spring Valley committed to Benedictine College of Mesa this week. So there's some ballers in that game. So good balanced field. You know, I don't know much about I'd like to see Durango put up a fight against Coronado, but it's not going to happen.
There are two games on Gorman's schedule on Max Preps. However, one of them is against Sheldon, and I don't think it's Sheldon's. Maybe it is Centennial.
Okay.
Either way, this is going to be a great event, and we encourage everyone to go out and check that out if you can. I'm sure you could find the schedule from much more informed places than us on Twitter that'll be updated. Coronado Hoops Twitter, I'm assuming I'll be putting it out, and Valerie in Vegas. That's where I have they found this old flyer. So check those out. Go out to Coronado on Monday. Go out to South Point on Saturday. Should be a good day of hoops. We'll get to the picks. We pick some of these games, but we're starting first, I guess, tonight, Canyon Springs in Vegas.
Yeah, I always like to give my kitty cat some love, even though I got the Pioneers. But interesting over there because, you know, Canyon with, you know, Soares and company have kind of been, passed up by DP. So Canyon at Vegas, I take the Pioneers.
Yeah, we both picked Canyon last week, I believe, and I was saying that I had to see Desert Pines beat Canyon before I said they were a real contender, and they did it. So I'll say I was definitely wrong. Desert Pines is as good as advertised. They deserve to be the favorites in the Northeast right now. Shout out to Desert Pines. I think Canyon Springs wins this game against Las Vegas, but I think Desert Pines keeps its lead by beating El Dorado also tonight.
Okay, I agree. Is that one of our picks?
Yes.
Okay, and I got DP as well.
All right, so we're in agreement through all of those. I think we're going to be in agreement here too. Liberty at Green Valley. I think Strother will be too much for the Gators.
I totally agree, even though Green Valley plays better at home.
All right, Cheyenne at Mojave.
I think this is going to be a close game, and I could see it winding up both ways. But I give, since it's a non-league game, I give, you know, Mojave a little edge. Maybe Cheyenne left its guard down.
Yeah, kind of a strange game, which was why I paused there, because I mean, Cheyenne moved to the upper level this year, but you would kind of forget that looking at this game, because Mojave, obviously a team with a shot on the lower level. I'm going to go, who'd you pick?
I had Mojave.
Okay. Yeah. I got Cheyenne.
Okay.
Close game, though. I agree with you. I don't really have much to disagree there. I thought you might have picked Cheyenne accidentally when you picked Mojave before, or I don't know. We're disagree there, though. I've got Cheyenne. You've got Mojave. Clark in Coronado at the South Point Saturday at 12:30.
Did I tell you how much I love that Frankie Collins kid?
Oh, yes, and you're about to again, I think.
God, that guy, I mean, I'm telling you right now, so you, a lot of coaches were at that Gorman-Clark game, and UNLV was there, and I felt like standing up to the UNLV coaches and saying, I know you've offered like 7 or 8 guys in this game. Focus solely in on the point guard from Clark. He's going to be a difference maker. I think he could have a career, you know, local point guard, you know, better than Anthony Marshall.
That's insane.
Really good.
I like Frankie Collins too, but Anthony Marshall
was a great rebel. I agree. But this kid, Frankie Collins, bro.
Anthony Marshall's a pretty high bar.
Yeah.
I'm all rooting for Frankie Collins to top it. That's a lot of pressure.
And you
got to
realize now that Zion Collins has probably worked his way into playing in a Power Five. And Frankie Collins, I thought, hung with him pretty good for most of the game. Granted, there were some times where Zion just drove right by him, but I think the bar's pretty high for him, and he's got a bigger body as well. So my opinion, I like Frankie Collins. I think he wins the battle with Richard Isaacs Jr. of Coronado. And I think with the Jackson Hill combo on the inside for Clark is just plenty, and I think it does enough to cancel out whatever Hardy goes for.
Yeah, what a game this is. I really think that it's evenly matched. I think you can make a case either way. I think I'm going to go Coronado, though. Maybe I'm just, kind of smitten with the talent, but I just think they got so much talent there. And I also love pointing this out, always to give Brewer grief. It's take the best player on the court until it doesn't fit your agenda. Then you throw your theory out the window.
Yep, you got that. Case, come on, you don't have to.
I'm going with Coronado. This is 50-50. I can't wait to see what happens in this game. Following that, Bishop Gorman at Findlay Prep. Gorman's won, 3 in a row now?
Yeah.
Maybe only 2 in a row? I don't know. They've won.
I think the Zach Collins junior year was their first. Whatever it is, they're on a winning streak, and it continues.
Yeah, I think we're both going Gorman here, and I think Gorman, I mean, this has got to be the biggest favorite they've been in the series, which could be dangerous. You know Finley's got some guys that can play, so I'm not saying they run away with it, but I think they win a close game.
Yeah, and I think for Gorman, this is a game that gets them ready for the playoffs, and I know it means a lot to them to win this game. Plus, you get that horseshoe thing from the South Point.
Oh, yeah, horseshoe trophy. You got to like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any trophies at the MLK Elite, but I'm assuming there's some kind of recognition that comes with being the standout. And two of the teams that will have the first chance to do that early – one of the early games, Spring Valley and Vegas. You mentioned it earlier. Who are you picking?
Yeah, this is a game that really intrigues me because I do think they're evenly matched. And, you know, Spring Valley is just in a real tough league. I mean, Silverado has been better than we thought, right? shout out to Colin Darfour for what he's doing over at Silverado. So I love the way Spring Valley scores, man. And I hate to pick twice against my Kitty Cats because you know I'm a de facto Wildcat, but I got Spring Valley.
Yeah, I picked against Spring Valley last week, and I think that was a mistake. I'm not going to do it again. Webster and Blair just light it up every single game. I'm going to go with Spring Valley, so we agree there. Here's another game where, you know, you're coming off a game that looks bigger on paper, but if you sleep through it, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if Coronado gets in trouble here. They're hosting Durango. I think you got to go with Coronado, but it could be dangerous. Durango's got some kids, and Coronado can't come out slow after, you know, that big game on Saturday with Clark.
Yeah, I think Kaufman Case might not be happy with me, but I think the one thing that is preventing them from becoming an elite team, because they have elite players, right, is for some reason they let teams hang around like Green Valley. They had to put Green Valley away at Green Valley, and they did, or Foothill last night at their gym. And
Foothill's a different level than Green Valley, though.
They are, but, I mean, on paper, Coronado's got Jaden Hart. Coronado's got, like, two guys with major D1 offers. They've got a great high school player in Fat Daddy. They've got an exceptional defender in Felix Reeves.
Nailed it.
Right? Now, the one thing I did notice last week, and I should have brought this up 30 minutes ago, both Liberty and Coronado and Clark, and maybe not Gorman, but they got five Jimmys and Joes that they could run out there, and number six isn't coming. You know what I'm saying? In fact, at the end of the Coronado-Liberty game, it felt like I was watching a JV basketball game.
All right, interesting. A little harsh, but I actually think...
Not harsh, just saying they don't have enough Jimmys and Joes. Like,
yeah, I think in high school basketball, though, I mean, the big reason why that can be an issue is foul trouble. But if you stay out of foul trouble, it's not as big as a problem as it is. The games are so short that I feel like you can overcome it. It's not a crippling thing. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just think that, you know, it shouldn't be something that totally holds them back. And I agree with you that Coronado, if they keep letting these teams hang around, I mean, it's just one of the games they'll probably lose if you keep flirting with disaster.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it last year. They lost some games they probably shouldn't have. I don't think it's coming here, though. I've got Coronado over Durango, even though it is a little bit of a dangerous spot. I think you're on the same page.
I am, too.
Okay.
My bad.
Sorry. Gorman and Arborview. I guess just apply everything I just said to Gorman here, too. But I think that Gorman will be ready to go. I think they're... I think Grant Rice and his staff will have them prepared to take on the Aggies, and I think that Gorman will get it done.
Yeah, just a different level of Arbor's not at Gorman's level.
Yeah, Gorman not as deficient as the depth probably as some of those other teams you just mentioned either. They got some guys that can play down the bench. So we've both got Gorman. And finishing things up, Cimarron and Shadow Ridge, another Monday game, but I – don't believe this isn't part of the Coronado one. So if you want to go to this game, you'll have to go to Shadow Ridge. I've got Cimarron.
Yeah, and I've got Cimarron too. They're one of these teams that we're not mentioning right now in that mountain playoff run, but they've got a player who is pretty exceptional in Lang, and you know, that's on one of my theories all it takes.
Yeah, and you could be right. They're a tough out. They're a team that's going to be, you know, kind of competing for a playoff spot right now. It looks like they are two games behind Palo Verde for the final playoff spot in the Northwest, but certainly not out of it. They have to win this one, though, and I think that they will. We've both got Cimarron. So only ones we disagree on is I've got Coronado, Brewer's got Clark, and Brewer's got Mojave. I've got Cheyenne. Other than that, we're on the same page. I'm one win up on you for the season, so we'll see how it shakes out.
Oh, big time, CK, big time.
See how it shakes out next week. Can't wait to see how all these tournaments go. South Point on Saturday, Coronado on Monday. Ram it into your brain one last time. Go check out some of these exceptional local athletes. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks, as always, for listening to Prep Sports Now.